Blog Talk Radio.
That's probably what they're shooting for.
And, you know, I'm really happy. We have a number of, well, actually we have a short show today. We have Jeff Carroll, excuse me, who's going to be calling in from Houston. I actually sent them an email a couple of days ago. And I said, look, you know, if you're having some issues because of the hurricane, you know, we can reschedule. It's not a big deal. He said, no, no, no. We will come on. And, you know, so I'm looking forward to talking with him. And so it's going to be a relatively short show, you know, for them and for me. We are going to get the commercials out of the way. By the time we come back, hopefully the chef will be calling in and, you know, we'll get going.
If you are a professional who feels stuck under a glass ceiling and your gifts are going to waste, then I have a special gift for you. I'm Amanda Eloesh, San Francisco's leading spiritual success mentor, and I find that many professionals who come to me feel like they've tried everything they can think of to get ahead and still hunger for more meaning and fulfillment. I can help you to reach more clients and make more money through deep spiritual awakening and medicine ceremonies. For a complimentary 60-minute exploration of how I can help you, visit eloesh.com, that's eloesh.com, and grab your Breakthrough to Success mentoring kit. It's my gift to you so you can stop struggling and start living your purpose now.
Most of us experience 200 chemicals before we get to the breakfast table. Want to kick chemicals to the curb? Start with the largest organ of your body, your skin. From the banks of the Rogue River in Michigan, Flow Soap Studio has created a chemical-free soap that your body will love. Our soap is made with botanical oils, natural colors, and scented with pure essential oils. It's vegan and never tested on animals. That means no tallow from large factory slaughterhouses, no GMO oils, detergents, perfumes, or harsh sulfates. Not a single ingredient is created in a laboratory, so it's safe for the environment and amazing for your skin. Find us on Facebook at Flow Soap Studio or visit flowsoapstudio.com today and get free shipping. That's Flow, F-L-O-W, soapstudio.com.
Hi, this is Lisa Downs with Downs Leadership. I work with technical leaders and teams in STEM professions to increase their productivity, collaboration, and innovation, and decrease dysfunction, miscommunication, and bad fit when it comes to hiring. Basically, if there's a people problem, I can help you solve it. Whether you're a startup or an established business, Downs Leadership can provide you with one-on-one leader coaching, executive coaching, and team building and development. Do any of these scenarios sound familiar? Your business is growing so fast you don't have time to get to know your people. You spend so much time dealing with conflict that you feel like a parent refereeing the kids. You have managers who haven't had good support in knowing how to manage effectively. Your team doesn't know each other well and how to best work together. You keep hiring the wrong people and need some help figuring it out. If you said yes to any of these situations, give me a call at 425-216-3015 or visit DownsLeadership.com today to learn more and schedule a free leadership strategy session with me. That's Lisa Downs with Downs Leadership. Data-driven, STEM-focused, results realized.
Discover the three top reasons why your money flow may be blocked. You've lost your creativity because you have way too much stress in your life. You are out of alignment with your soul purpose, or your inspiration has run dry. If you are experiencing any of these, then you will love the free gift from Lucy McMonagle that will make you a money magnet. Get instant access at wealthpouch.com. This is the one tool that will open the floodgates of your wealth today. So go to wealthpouch.com now and get instant access. I will see you at wealthpouch.com.
Hello, this is Meenakshi Ramesh from www.tapyourwaytohealing.com. I'm a certified EFT practitioner. EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, also called as tapping. Ask yourself these questions. Are you struggling with any physical or emotional discomfort? Are you tired of being overwhelmed and stressed? Have you been procrastinating on your projects? Have you been feeling guilty for all your mistakes? Are you suffering from insomnia? Do you want to improve your self-confidence? Are you struggling to lose weight? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, send me an email at tapyourwaytohealing@gmail.com for a free complimentary session. I hope to see you there. Thank you.
Hey, did you know that you have 7 short seconds to capture someone's attention before they tune you out? That's where I come in. Ilya, CEO and Chief Executive Unicorn of Powtoon. Powtoon lets you create short animated videos for your business, just like those cool ones you see all over the web. The best part about it is that it's easy, quick, free, and absolutely awesome. In fact, over 36 million Powtoons have been made so far, and a new one is created every second of every day. So if you don't want your business to be ignored, make a Powtoon now. Visit powtoon.com. That's powtoon.com. Sign up today for free to bring a touch of awesomeness to your brand.
Startup Founders. Are you looking for resources, space, mentors, service providers? Visit us.techcode.com. Is your company growing and are you ready to access new markets? Overseas, China, Europe, North America? Visit us.techcode.com. Are you a mentor or service provider that are interested in access to startups in incubators or accelerators throughout the world? Visit us.techcode.com.
Business Connections of Nevada, where Las Vegas small business professionals meet for professional networking. Business Connections of Nevada, with over $10 million in revenues amongst its members in 3 years, it's no wonder why we're Las Vegas's premier networking group. Our progressive approach to membership includes, but doesn't depend just on referrals alone. We're more than that, much more. Our membership continues to grow because our peer-to-peer education and collaboration results in both professional and personal growth. Come grow with us at bcn-nv.com. We meet at the Beacon Center. The Beacon Center, practical and affordable meeting space for any professional event. The Beacon Center, located near the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. The Beacon Center is convenient from anywhere in Las Vegas. Go to thebeaconcenter.com for details. Business Connections of Nevada, bcn-nv.com. The Beacon Center, thebeaconcenter.com.
And we're back, and our guest today is Chef Charles Carroll. He is an award-winning author of Leadership Lessons from a Chef, Finding Time to Be Great and Tasting Success, Your Guide to Becoming a Professional Chef. Chef Carroll is currently the executive chef of River Oaks Country Club in Houston, Texas. River Oaks Country Club enjoys a reputation of being rated the number 4 country club in the United States. The club has 1,700 members and 75 culinary team members. I believe he is calling in from Houston. Chef Carroll, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. And you know, we weren't sure whether or not to have you on this week because of the hurricane. I'm so happy you're able to call in. Tell us what's going on in Houston. Give us sort of an idea of, you know, what's been happening.
Well, I tell you, it's been something else, Tony. It's been crazy, but I think a lot of what you see on TV is pretty accurate, and Houston is snapping right back, and traffic is probably the worst of it all right now, because a lot of the roads are still closed, and with 6 million people in the city, it's just a nightmare. But everyone's pretty resilient, and everybody's bouncing back, and we've had probably 30 or 40 staff members that were affected, and a lot of members, and it's just it's going to be a long healing process, but it's nice to see everybody come together.
Now, for people who have never lived through a hurricane, what kind of advice would you give them? Because this is, I'm in San Francisco. We deal with earthquakes. We don't necessarily have earthquakes. What advice can you
get out. That's my advice. Get out. This is my advice, Tony. And I've been talking to a lot of people in Florida right now. I can't believe those guys are still staying. A lot of people are trying to buckle down. I've been through, I think, three or four now in Houston, and the last one was Ike. And of course, this one's much different because we knew that the storm was going far west of us, and then we were going to get sat on with a bunch of water. So that's a different dynamic. But just as devastating, but different. You can get through that if you're smart. Now, Ike, on the other hand, was a Cat 3, and it was a small Cat 3 at the beginning stages of a Cat 3, and I was up all night through that, and I swore I'd never do that again. And that was a small Cat 3. Imagine, Cat 4, Cat 5, I would tell people, don't even think about it. Just get the hell out, because it's just not worth it. It's scary. It's not fun. And the thing is, when you first start reading about it or hearing about it on TV, it's a week out. They say, well, it may hit, it may not hit. You have to prepare for it no matter what. You have to go through all the steps, and the same thing at the club. And it's a lot of steps: power, candles, flashlights, gas, water, food. We were locked in our house for 3 days, but we were blessed because we had water and power. So, it's just a helpless feeling that you can't help anybody else because you can't get out.
Yeah, and it's funny, and forgive me, because whenever I hear them say on the news, oh, you should have 3 days worth of food and water, well, I'm always one of those people, well, doesn't everybody have 3 days worth of food and water in your refrigerator, your cabinet? And maybe it's because I'm not a chef, but I'm a foodie, and I do an awful lot of cooking, so I always have food and water, in the kitchen. So I'm always a little surprised when people say, oh, I always have 3 days, and whatever. You said that there were some people that were affected. What kind of damage are we talking about in Houston? Was there a lot of damage?
Oh my gosh, yeah, yeah. They're talking about over 100,000 homes, and looking like a $200 billion worth of damage. I have employees that lost their entire homes and automobiles. It's just devastating, and I had very dear friends that, they were rescued by boats in the middle of their streets, and there's 4 feet of water in their first floor living that was never considered a flood zone before. And when you're walking out, you don't know where you're walking, because you just don't know where storm drains are, and the currents are bad. And even after the storm was over on Tuesday, that's the waters are so high in all the reservoirs and dams and different bayous that they started letting water out from some of those reservoirs. So houses, believe it or not, there were some houses that weren't flooded on Tuesday that ended up being flooded on Tuesday night and Wednesday because they just had to relieve all these areas. And it's just devastating. It's just terrible.
And so I guess My other question is, was the country club damaged? Was there any damage? Was there any damage, I guess? what I wanted to
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah. We had it's not bad, although the golf course is going to suffer thousands and thousands of dollars. I don't know what it is, and I'm sure we don't know what it is yet. But we still have six or seven holes underwater still, and they say they may be underwater another 3 weeks. So once that happens, I mean, everything dies. You know, when a green dies, I mean, the greens are expensive to rebuild. So that was probably the most expensive part of our damage. We had leaks in many different parts of the club, but we fared very, very well compared to others. So there's a few other clubs in the area that are going to be closed until probably May next year. They're completely flooded. And these are big properties. So
that's amazing. Well, I'm happy that you're doing well. It sounds like your family's doing well, and you know all you can do is sort of reach out to people and do what you can and go
that's
from
right.
there. By the way, the news is reporting that FEMA is running or has run out of money. What's the presence been like with FEMA?
You know, I don't have an educated answer to that. I haven't seen a whole lot of news myself. We've been getting up early and coming to work early and leaving late, and we were feeding all last week first responders and a lot of family meals for a lot of our staff that didn't have any power or lost everything. I don't have an educated guess on the FEMA situation. I know the situation in Florida is not helping anything now either, because that's got to be bad. That's got to be a bad scene down there.
Yeah, and then there are two other hurricanes right behind this one. So it's just
right.
one thing after another.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about the country club, and because I was doing a little bit of research. You've been there since 1996, I believe.
Actually, I was at Oak Hill Country Club in 96. I've been down here since 2000. I've been here 17 and a half years.
Okay.
It's a beautiful club. Yeah.
And I'm always curious, and forgive me because I'm not going to get political, but how is the Oak Hill Country Club compared to the Trump Country Club? I mean, is it comparable? Is it,
Did you just say Trump Country Club?
Yes.
I don't know if it's a Trump Country Club. Oak Hill is an amazing property. Oak Hill is a beautiful, two majestic championship golf courses in one, which is you hardly ever see two championship courses on one property. It's amazing golf, amazing membership. I really enjoyed my time there. I was there 4 years, and I was recruited down here. This club has been another majestic, beautiful. It's a much bigger property than Oak Hill, and we are up to 1,700 members here. Oak Hill, I think, was around 900 members, and the F&B is insanely different. We're doing a little over 13 million in food and beverage sales. I have a staff of 75. I have six kitchens, three restaurants. We average between 80 and 100 parties a week, and so it's a busy operation. But the membership is fantastic, and especially during these times, there's a lot of members. They gave a lot of money for the employees that were affected. We have a whole building full of stuff that's been donated. We have a 25 foot truck coming in tomorrow of donations from other clubs around the country that have organized. It's just an amazing effort, and we're helping with those who have been affected.
Now, I want to talk food, because I'm a foodie, I'm a cookbook author, I used to publish a food magazine, and so I'm always happy to talk about food and techniques and that sort of thing. When people come to the country club, what kind of food are they going to experience?
Well, it's amazing, Tony. We have, I don't know how familiar you are with country clubs, but you try to be everything to everybody, which is the tough part about the job. So we're doing the high end kids' birthday parties to the fried chicken to the 7, 12, 14 course meals in our private wine cellar, and then we have a nice pizza burger joint with gourmet burgers and handmade pizzas and specialty grind burgers and homemade buns, and you know, as what we call a turn for the golf course, but it's also kind of a destination little restaurant for the younger generation. Our more traditional restaurant is kind of a more of a down home. You know, we do a lot of Tex-Mex. And if someone, basically the rule is, if someone wants something and we have it in house, we'll do it for them. But it, you know, it's a little bit tricky because we're doing everything. But we pride ourselves of doing some of the most amazing food, not only in Texas or in Houston, but rival the rest of the country and parts of the world. We do a lot of research. We do a lot of fine dining events, and that's kind of our best kept secret for the membership. They can have a pretty cool experience that could rival a lot of different restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I said I wanted to talk about food because I'm always fascinated by putting together. I'm sort of a do-it-yourselfer. I'm not a chef. I'm just a cook who really enjoys being in the kitchen whenever I can. A lot of people that I speak with, and I write about this in my books and whatnot, I always tell them, it's not the cooking that takes so much time, it's the prep work. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I guess I would. That's a pretty good statement, because, you know, we will prep a lot of, like say, the 7 or 12 course meals. You know, we'll take 2 or 3 days to prep those out, depending on how many we're serving. And then when the evening starts, you know, you serve the meal like within 2 hours. So it's absolutely in the preparation and even the designing of it. Some of the meals I'm talking about is, you know, what kind of china are you going to use? Are we going to buy any specialty china? What's the designs going to look like? And then you got to source the food. We need to fly in specialty food from New England for the seafood or the specialty caviar or special greens from Ohio. I mean, whatever the case is. So, yeah, I mean, the planning, the designs, the china, and then you get into the ordering and sourcing, and then you get into the actual prep, which is 2 or 3 days. And then, once the event starts, you know, it's over in 2 hours. So the actual cooking of it. But you're absolutely right.
So what's the, what's the hardest part about overseeing a staff of your size? You've got 75 people under you. You've got, what, 6 kitchens? What's the hardest part about catering an event?
Well, with 75 employees, you have a lot of different dynamics. But the biggest secret, to be honest, the biggest secret is to hire good people, you know, and hire good supervisors and trust them and listen to them and listen to what their needs are. My job is to make sure, A, I hire great people, and B, they have everything they need to be successful. And some chefs don't get that. You know, they say it's my way or the highway, or this is my recipe, you're going to do it, you know, like it or not. You know, that's not how I run my kitchen. I let my people that I hire to do the job, I let them do the job, and I try to get out of their way. We have a lot of meetings, every week, and we discuss, you know, what's going on that week, what the standards are, and anybody have any issues, and we talk about them together, and I don't, it's not always my idea that is the one that we're going with. So it's a very open kitchen that way. I think that's why we're so successful. So I think that's the secret is, you know, let your people run their areas and listen to what their needs are. So that would be the secret of being successful. If you try to do it the other way around, you can't, you know, you have to be everywhere at all the time. So that's the way to do it.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the other thing is you tend to keep your people longer because if
that's
they feel like they're being heard, they can be creative, they can sort of do their thing without feeling inhibited or limited. You know, they can go out and be creative, and they're not going to go, you know, to another country club or restaurant or whatever. So I appreciate that. You know, one of the lessons that I learned, and I had no intention of going into the food service industry. I was really, really young, and I decided I was going to apply for a job at a local restaurant. I didn't realize what kind of a test this was, and this is really for any listener who's looking to get into food. So the owner said, make me an omelet. And I said, okay, terrific. I can make an omelet. I can make a really good omelet. And I, you know, cracked the egg and, you know, did everything else. And he said, you know, at the end of it, he said, no, I don't think this is going to work. He said, it's delicious, but I don't think it's going to work. And I never figured out why until years later when I thought about it. Do you know what I did wrong?
Well, I'm not quite sure what he was looking for, but I would say, could have been a sanitation issue. How did you handle yourself in the kitchen? Did you wash your hands for it? Did you? Yeah.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, that's very teachable too.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of a strict lesson there, because you can, you know, I hire with heart. You know, I'll take somebody that has a huge heart over a 3-page resume any day. You know, you try to come in, you know, I want the guy who wants to chew off the end of the table, do whatever it takes to be successful. That guy I can work with. The know-it-all, got it all, get out of my way, you know, don't try to tell me, you know, what to do. You know, I there's not much room for that. I can take those ones that are willing to chew off the end of the table and be successful and listen to other people and let's work on things together. Those are the ones I like. You know, we used to do an onion. You know, I used to have somebody, I said, have an interview. I like the guy a lot. I like the girl a lot. Can you dice up a medium dice onion? And then I would judge them, you know, but I would quickly be able to tell if someone's comfortable or not. You know, if they're nervous or, you know, how do they peel the onion? You know, did they chop up the root of the onion? Are they, where, how do they hold the knife? Were they able to do it quickly? Is it a perfect dice, or is it sloppy? Are they nervous? Did they wash their hands? So I oftentimes, instead of having somebody cook a whole meal or a chicken or whatever, just dice an onion, and I can learn an awful lot about a person. But I go from there. Now, if I was hiring you to be a sous chef, you know, and you jumped right in and didn't wash your hands and you had sanitation issues, and that's a little bit of an issue. Yeah, that's a problem if you're trying to come in and sell yourself at a higher salary. Yeah.
Absolutely, and that was really the lesson that I learned, and so that's an important one. Talk to me a little bit about your book, Your Guide to Becoming a Professional Chef. Why did you write it? What are people going to get out of it?
Well, you know, I wrote Leadership Lessons from a Chef, Finding Time to Be Great first, and then I was touring around. I do a lot of speaking, around 30 events a year, and I started out with a book tour on that one, and I went to a lot of schools, and I was talking to the students. I said, what do you want to do when you graduate? And they said, get a good job somewhere. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, that's just what a terrible answer. You're sitting in front of me, and you just got done spending $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 on your education, and your goal is get a good job somewhere. I was just floored by that. And so that's why I wrote Tasting Success. And that book was written, and both books are being used all over the United States, over 40 different schools now, because they're written by a chef in a kitchen. So sometimes I'm in your face a little bit, but it's written by a chef, not a doctorate or a philosopher or anybody else, someone is doing this stuff every day. And so the goal is to give that book, Tasting Success, to the student, you know, when they start school, or hopefully they read it a month before they go to school, so that allows them to attack their time when they're at school so they get the most out of it, to help them focus in on what it is they want to do and what they want to accomplish when they graduate. So it helps them take full advantage of their time. So it's been successful because of that.
And leadership is the most recent book? Because I'm reading your bio, and it looks like you've got two books that are out kind of at the same time, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, Leadership Lessons from a Chef, Finding Time to Be Great came first, and that's also written in the club environment, but it's on how to build teams and get good people that want to work for you. And I think it's a perfect title, Finding Time to Be Great. I mean, in our industry, everything is right now, give it to me, you know, quick, fast food, fast lines, digital time, you know. some days it's all we can do just to get the food out. How are you gonna find time to inspire your team and help them achieve their goals and help them be successful as well and get the put the best food out possible and be successful in your own self? And so that's why that book was written, and it was a huge success, and now being used in a lot of operations around the United States and parts of the world, but and as far as the schools are concerned, they're using it in their business classes. But I mean, we have people in Portugal and in Malaysia and Greece and 40 different schools around the country. I know a lot of clubs are using it. So it's I'm very, very proud of that book.
Now, and you brought up an interesting point, and because this is a business radio show, I like to talk business. One of the things that I noticed with a lot of different schools, culinary schools, psychology schools, you know, that sort of thing, is that they teach the craft, but they don't teach the business side of it, how to run your business, how to generate revenue, how to get clients, how to open up a restaurant, that sort of thing. Is that sort of the kind of stuff that you talk about in these books, or am I off base?
No, you're well, like I said, you're right. But see, if you had to recommend to a chef a book on business or how to run your kitchen or how to build teams or get people to want to work for you, how do you create an environment that people are dying to work in? You know, what book would it be? You know, you really can't tell them one. But it's this one. It's Leadership Lessons from a Chef, Finding Time to Be Great. And the principles in that book, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a kitchen environment. It could be any environment. And the principles work whether you're in a small property of, you know, 100-seat restaurant or if you're running a property with 6 different kitchens in it. So the principles are all – they're all the same. So it's the reason why I'm so proud of this book is that chefs love reading it because it's like I'm talking to you right now. And second, the philosophy in it works. And there's 30, 40, 50 different ideas in there on how to inspire your team and how to create the best environment possible. Obviously, not all of those ideas fit everywhere. So you're able to go through the book and pick and choose what you think might fit your property and inspire your team to be great. And that's really the secret, you know, the success of – we only become successful as the rest of our team does. You know, and if they're not inspired and if they're not doing well, if they're not happy, then chances are the food they're putting out is not going to be that good. So that's why I just love that book.
Absolutely. Okay, so last question, one of the last questions. I imagine with your schedule, you don't have a lot of time to watch Food Network or, you know, cooking shows, that sort of thing. But is there any food chef that, or a TV chef that you like or anyone that you don't like, that you don't connect with?
You're right. I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't watch a lot of, especially the cooking shows. And that's not a slam towards them. It's just that I guess when I get home, I'm brain dead, and the last thing I want to see is someone cooking. I used to watch Top Chefs a little bit back in the day when that was on. Top Chefs. I thought it was a pretty cool show.
Sure.
I love competition and I love seeing someone being successful. I'm an emotional guy.
Would you ever do a show like that?
Well, I at this point in my life, I've been blessed to have done so many awesome, wonderful things with Afghanistan, the trips to Afghanistan. You know, my new book coming out, The Recipe, we're so excited about. We actually have movie interest on it. The book is a beautiful parable, and from that I'm working on a podcast as well that'll start in October, and we're actually working on a TV show as well. So there's a lot of things that are kind of coming out of it, but yeah, it's really exciting, and you know, it's life is getting kind of fun, actually. There's a lot of different dynamics going on. But I don't know if you knew about the new book coming out. It's called The Recipe. I partnered with John David Mann, and it comes out in October. And John Mann is a seven-time national best-selling author, and it's called The Recipe, A Story of a Lost Love and Ingredients of Greatness. And it's just a special, beautiful story about a little boy who gets himself in trouble, and his dad dies at a young age, and so he's mad at the world and mad at God, and a crusty old military chef of a diner sees him getting in trouble. And so each chapter is a life lesson, and each chapter they cook something together. And as you know, food has so much to do with life, and I'm very, very proud of it.
Yeah, and I'm going to make an observation, because based on everything that you're working on, everything that's coming up, it sounds like you're kind of on your way to becoming a celebrity chef.
Well,
you know, you may not have time to watch the shows, but it sounds like you're about to become one of those celebrity chefs or TV celebrity chefs. I'm making an observation. You don't have to agree with me. I'm just saying.
Well, thank you for that. I've worked hard all my life, and there's luck involved in it, but I don't consider myself lucky, because, you know, I busted my can. You know, I've been a part of 8 different culinary Olympic teams, and it's been a long road. But I'm having a blast right now, and I think that the TV show is really starting to get hot, and if it happens. I'm not going to be the celebrity kind of – I wouldn't be the celebrity kind of person that you're talking about, because my show is meant to touch people's hearts, and that we're looking for that story, quote-unquote. We're looking for that recipe of people's success, and we're honoring that. So I'm more so the host searching for, you know, the recipes that's just going to touch people's hearts and make a difference in their lives. So, and the viewers' lives. So that's kind of the idea. But we're excited. You know, it's what you got to do. You got to keep, you know, digging down. I honestly believe that we're all put on this earth, and there's something inside us we're supposed to find. And I would encourage all your listeners, you know, you got to find it, you know, and then many times we dream, but we allow our work or our responsibilities and families or whatever the case is, responsibilities, get in the way of our dreams, you know. And, you know, I encourage everybody to chase them and chase them hard and work their can off and go get it. You know, that's what makes you jump out of bed in the morning.
There you have it. Tell everybody where to go and get your books.
ChefCharlesCarroll.com. Chef Charles Carroll, CARROLL.com. And just about everything you need to know is on there.
Okay, and tell everybody where they can find out more about the River Oaks and make reservations, et cetera.
Well, the River Oaks Country Club is a private club, and it's in Houston, Texas. And so it's not open for it's private. It's a private club, so unfortunately it's not open for the outside dining.
Oh, okay. So you do have to be a member in order to dine there. Well, okay. That sounds good. Listen, Chef, will you come back and talk to us again, particularly after the new book is out or the TV show or what have you? Will you come back and talk
to us? I sure will.
Again? All right.
That would be my pleasure.
Chef,
I appreciate you having me on.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. And listen, take care and be careful out there, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care. And that
right,
is
bye-bye.
Our show for this week. That is our show for this week, and I want to thank Chef Carroll for coming on and educating us. And, you know, I always love talking about food. Sometimes I talk about it a little bit too much, but, you know, here it is. We will be on hiatus for a couple of weeks, and I'm looking at the calendar because I can never remember. We will be back on the air October the 13th, and I'm really looking forward to that because we've got a slew of new guests. They're going to be calling in, so that'll be interesting. And until then, I'm Tony Wilkins. Have a wonderful weekend. You know, our thoughts and prayers are out to the people who are in the path of the hurricane in Florida, please, 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 if you can get out, you know, get out of town. If you, you know, can't get out, then just be safe. Until next time, I'm Tony Wilkins. Have a safe weekend.